am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and it's good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus. Because this message is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. And believing this message and receiving salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our greatest need. Shalom, this is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, today is Wednesday, May 30th, and every Wednesday at 6:30, we have our Bible study for Congregation Shema Yisrael. And I want to invite the listeners of Jesus Made Me Kosher to join my co-host, Rabbi Glenn, every Wednesday night for the Bible study. And if you're not attending a good Bible study tonight, you're welcome to join ours tonight at 6:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. Rabbi Glenn is going to start a series on June 13th, a journey through the historical books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. This series will help you get a handle on the chronology of Israel's history, especially the transition from the time of the judges to the kings and the prophets. So again, that series begins on Wednesday, June 13th, and will take place every Wednesday evening at 6:30. And Rabbi Glenn will be doing some preparatory teachings to get us ready for that beginning tonight at 6:30. I also want to mention that Shalom Ministry, which is a ministry led by Pastor John and Donna Denson, African Americans who have a real heart and passion for Jewish people and Jewish evangelism and teaching the African American church the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, they're going to be having a Fellowship of Suffering tour. And that will start June 3rd and June 10th, coming up June 3rd and June 10th, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. respectively. On June 3rd, they will be touring the African American Museum in downtown Detroit. And then on June 10th, the following weekend, they will tour the Holocaust Museum in Farmington Hills. So that's really interesting, a Fellowship of Suffering tour to the African American Museum in downtown Detroit, and then a tour to the Holocaust Museum in Farmington Hills, June 3rd and June 10th. The cost for both trips is going to be $20 for adults and $10 for school kids up to high school with ID. The number to call is 248-991-2648. That's 248-991-2648 for Shalom Ministries Fellowship of Suffering Tour. Well, today I have a special guest who's an old friend of mine, Dr. Rich Robinson. And Rich came to faith at Syracuse University as a student in 1973. He holds an MDiv, a Master of Divinity, from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and a PhD from Westminster Theological Seminary. Rich is a scholar, and he has been on staff with Jews for Jesus since 1978. And he is currently the senior researcher with the Ministry of Jews for Jesus. So, Rich, welcome back to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
It's great to be with you, Lauren. Thanks for having me back on.
You are welcome, Rich. Well, Rich, today we're going to discuss the changing attitudes of Jewish thought leaders towards Jesus. And this is important because the Bible says that the salvation of the world is connected to what Jewish people think about Jesus. Let me read a couple of passages from Rabbi Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome. This is from Romans chapter 11. Paul writes, "If the Jewish people's transgression, missing the Messiah, is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? If the Jewish people's rejection of the Messiah is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be for the world but like life from the dead? So, Rich, that tells us that what the Jewish world thinks about Jesus is going to impact the entire world one day. And ultimately, the Jewish view of Jesus is going to be 100% right. We will say, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But that's not where the majority of the Jewish people are at right now. Rich, tell us what Jewish writers and scholars are saying about Jesus and the New Testament today. Is it any more positive than things were in the past?
Well, that is a great question, Lauren. The answer, in a nutshell, is yes. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, those who are taking a positive view of the New Testament are rushing to embrace Jesus as the Messiah. They're not. But let me give you an idea of the way Jewish thinking has changed on this. If you go back to, let's say, to medieval times, okay, there was a picture of Jesus that was anything but positive. In the Middle Ages, there was in circulation a story called the Toledot Yeshu, the history of Jesus, the story of Jesus, which basically painted him in pretty terrible terms, that he was a deceiver of Israel, he was a sorcerer, he was a false prophet. And, you know, if you would have asked our great-great-grandparents, let's say, what they knew about Jesus, it might have been some variation of that. He was a liar, a deceiver, false prophet, and all of that. And, you know, the Orthodox Jewish community today mostly still takes that sort of a dim view of Jesus, certainly at least the ultra-Orthodox community. But I'm holding in my hands here as I write, as I speak, rather, I'm holding a book called The Jewish Annotated New Testament, which was recently published. And if you open this up, you discover that the editors are two mainstream Jewish scholars, Amy Jill Levine and Mark Zvi Brettler. And they have assembled a team of other Jewish scholars, none of whom are believers in Jesus. And yet they have undertaken to basically provide a sort of study Bible to the New Testament using an existing translation. They're using the New Revised Standard Version. But then they've annotated it with all kinds of notes about the Jewish background and added little introductory essays and essays at the end. And the reason that they did this is because in their view, number one, the New Testament is part of Jewish history and therefore something that Jews should know about. And as they put it, that Jews should know about without fear of proselytization, in their words. So, therefore, this book was compiled as sort of an educational thing for Jews as well as for Christians to understand the Jewishness of the New Testament. But also, because today's climate, there has been so much rapprochement, there has been so much reconciliation between Jews and Christians in that Christians no longer blame Jews for the death of Jesus in the official documents of the Catholic Church, for example. So there's been a lot of healing of relationships, and this is part of that, to say, hey, we can all study this together without fear of, you know, people saying things that we don't want to hear them saying. And, you know, it's a landmark book. It certainly is not the only thing out there. I'll tell you about some other things. But this is part of a process that has really been going on for the last couple of hundred years. Once we get out of the medieval times, so then in the modern era, a lot of Jewish scholars took a fresh look at Jesus, not accepting him as the Messiah, but saying, well, he's part and parcel of Judaism, and, you know, if we compare Jesus to the rabbis, we see all these similarities. And I can give you further examples. What's interesting to me, Lauren, is that in modern Jewish scholarship about Jesus, some writers will come along and say, X, Y, and Z about the New Testament is Jewish, but this over here isn't. Next writer might come along and say, no, that over there is what's Jewish, but it's the X, Y, and Z that is not. And so, you know, there's kind of this this appreciation for the Jewishness of the New Testament, but it's not always on the same page. A remarkable example to me is a recent book, came out about 2-3 years ago. It's called The Bodies of God and the World of Ancient Israel, kind of a strange title. The Bodies of God and the World of Ancient Israel by Benjamin Sommer, who teaches at Jewish Theological Seminary in New York City, which is where they train the rabbis for the conservative movement of Judaism. And essentially, he goes through Old Testament rabbinic literature, and he concludes that the idea that God can take on bodily form, the incarnation, is really a very Jewish idea.
Really?
And you say, wow. Well, you know, and some people will just think, well, doesn't that mean he's close to believing in Jesus? Well, no, he's not, because he goes on to say that even though the incarnation is a Jewish idea, Jesus did not fulfill the qualifications of the Messiah because he didn't rebuild the temple, he didn't bring peace, and this sort of thing. And he also thinks the resurrection is not very Jewish, the idea that you know, God could become someone in bodily form and then die and rise from the dead. He sees that as kind of off the Jewish radar, but he certainly sees the idea of, you know, an incarnation as something very Jewish. Now, you know, you could find other Jewish writers who would say, no, that's not Jewish at all. What's Jewish about Jesus are his ethics. And so, you know, you do have different points of view depending on who you speak to. I think what people have in common today among Jewish scholars, but not all, is the idea that Paul was kind of the bad guy who took the Jewishness of Jesus, maybe the Jewishness of the Gospels even, and he kind of invented a new religion for the sake of reaching the Gentiles. And that's a fairly common viewpoint.
So, Rich, if I can interrupt.
Yes, yes.
Jesus is being welcomed back, in a sense, into the Jewish fold, right? The Jewish community. There's an effort by Jewish thought leaders and scholars to emphasize the Jewishness of Jesus, and he is part of, the Jewish heritage, right?
Yes, not to appropriate him so much for personal belief, but to show that, yes, he's part of Jewish history, part of Jewish culture, part of Jewish life.
But on the other hand, whatever hostility there might be towards Christianity or the New Testament or Christian anti-Semitism, that animus is being directed towards Paul. He's the bad guy.
Well, I'd say two things. Paul is often seen as the bad guy. But also, when you look at many of the Jewish writers who comment on the New Testament, what you find is that they will often say something along these lines, that the New Testament, the Gospels, let's say, as they were later edited in later years, that's where you start to see anti-Semitism creep into the Gospels. Jesus himself was moving purely in a mainstream Jewish milieu, but the Gospels were written down after Jesus. And by the time they were written, according to a typical way of thinking here, by the time the Gospels were written, they reflected a later period of history when Christians and Jews were already at odds with one another. And so Matthew's Gospel, for example, may reflect some of that animosity when the Jewish crowd calls out to Pilate, let his blood be on us and our children. And they'll say John's Gospel certainly reflects a later time when hostility had arisen between Jews and Christians. That's why the quote-unquote Jews seem to be the bad guys in John's Gospel. So that is a typical position, which is also taken by a lot of mainstream Christian scholars. That's not strictly a Jewish point of view, but it enables someone to say, well, Jesus was originally Jewish in the Jewish context, and now as we see the New Testament being formed, the Gospels being written, we see how the lines were drawn really early on, and the hostility against Jewish people is already being seen by the time the Gospels are written. Now, not everyone will agree with that, though. You see, even among Jewish scholars.
Let me say this. You and I believe that the New Testament was written by Jewish people, and it was written in a time of controversy between Messianic Jews, Jews for Jesus, and those who were not only denying that Jesus was the Messiah, but often persecuting the small Messianic Jewish remnant. And so there was tension. But we need to understand that any remarks that seem to be negative towards the larger Jewish community, these are criticisms of Jewish people about other Jewish people, very similar to what you might read in the prophets, like Isaiah criticizing his, you know, the Jewish community of his day. He's not being a disloyal Jewish person. He is, out of love, pointing out the problems within the Jewish world. And I think we need to understand that as far as what's going on with Paul or any of the writings in the New Testament. Wouldn't you agree?
I think that's important. I agree there. And yet I was just looking through a recent book by Rabbi Herbert Basser, who wrote The Mind Behind the Gospels, a commentary to Matthew chapters 1 to 14. And he says, he can't accept that it was just an inner Jewish debate. It seems too far gone for him. But I think we have to understand that it was a debate within the Jewish community at first. And quite frankly, a lot of scholars today, Jewish and non-Jewish Bible scholars, don't believe the lines dividing Jews and Christians came so hard and fast, by the time the Gospels were written. A lot of people now, the point of view is that the lines between the Jewish and Christian communities didn't really harden until around the 4th century, and that there was a lot of give and take and mutual influence between Jews who believed in Jesus and Gentiles who believed in Jesus and those who didn't believe in Jesus in the 1st and 2nd and even the 3rd centuries.
All right, Rich, let me redirect the conversation a little bit. So, at the beginning, there was a Messianic Jewish community that accepted Jesus, the apostles and the 3,000 Jewish people that came to believe on Pentecost and the 5,000 and a grid of tens of thousands. But the majority of the Jewish community did not accept Jesus. And the traditional Jewish feeling was he was a false prophet, a false Messiah, a liar, a deceiver. That started changing a little bit a couple hundred years ago, right? And then in the past, 40, 50 years, we're getting Jewish scholars that are really emphasizing that Jesus was one of us. Wouldn't you say is that a good summary of the Jewish attitude toward Jesus over the past 2,000 years?
Yeah, that's a fair summary. See, what's happened in the last 40 to 50 years that you mentioned is that since the Holocaust, okay, there has been a lot of dialogue between the Jewish community, the Christian community. And oftentimes, some of us have tended to look very negatively on the dialogue because Jewish believers in Jesus are not included. Jewish evangelism is off the plate. But there's positives about those dialogues as well. And that is, number one, the church has officially, in many ways, and the Catholic Church and Protestant churches have renounced a history of anti-Semitism, which is a good thing that has come out of these dialogues. The other thing has been that because the comfort level has become higher just because evangelism is off the table, there's a positive thing that has actually come out of that, which is that I think the Jewish community feels more comfortable in embracing Jesus as somebody who is Jewish, and in encouraging learning about the Jewishness of the New Testament and about Jesus, because the comfort level is there. We don't feel like we need to, you know, just say, well, none of this relates to Jews. And so out of the dialogue movement has actually come an openness to investigating Jesus. There's a professor at the Hebrew Union College, Michael Cook, Cincinnati, where they train the Reform rabbis, who has written a book. In fact, he's not only written a book about the New Testament, I think he's probably the only person who holds a position. The title he has is something like Professor of New Testament, you know, and this is at a Jewish rabbinical seminary. So a lot of sea changes there, large-scale changes. Again, it doesn't mean that these Jewish scholars are, you know, more open to embracing Jesus as the Messiah. They're, you know, that's still off the plate. But I think we have a common place to speak from now, where we can say, well, you know, let's look at the New Testament. You say this part isn't Jewish, and the other part is, but I say they both are, or whatever. We can talk about this, and it's become a topic of conversation. It's been something that Jews will no longer feel they have to ignore. And yes, there's lots of disagreements we can have about this writer or that writer, but we have a basis for a conversation. I think that's a very good thing.
I do too. So we're, you know, it's important that Jewish attitudes towards Jesus, Jewish thought leaders' attitudes towards Jesus, is changing. They're becoming, you know, more positive, more accepting him as an authentic Jewish person. And this is important because, again, the Bible says that the salvation of the world is connected to what Jewish people think about Jesus. Romans 11 again. If the Jewish people's transgression, missing the Messiah, is riches for the world, if great blessings came when we blew it regarding the Messiah, and our failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will our fulfillment be when we recognize Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God? So the Jewish attitudes towards Jesus, Rich, are really important. Rich, a lot of Christians want to implement Romans 12. I will bless those that bless you, and the one that curses you, I will curse. They want to support, you know, Israel and the Jewish people, but they're doing it, in my opinion, in an unwise way by giving, you know, money to Yechiel Eckstein, this Orthodox rabbi who is funneling the money oftentimes against Jewish believers in Jesus, and John Hagee, who is not using that money to bring the gospel to our Jewish people. And that's our greatest need, Rich, isn't it? Wouldn't it be better for Christians to direct their, you know, Genesis 12 money, I will bless those that bless you, to a good ministry like Jews for Jesus?
Well, you know, it's kind of like asking which is more important, evangelism or social justice. I mean, maybe from the standpoint of eternity, evangelism, but, you know, they're both mandates for believers. And I think it would be great, you know, it doesn't need to be an either or. I think it would be great if Christians, you know, supported evangelism among Jewish people, as well as helping materially. Now, the people you mentioned may not be, you know, the best channels of material support from our standpoint, but there are other ways that you can give. You can plant a tree in Israel.
Or hey, Rich,
Jewish National Fund. You can do all sorts of things.
Oh. Rich, if a Christian wanted to do, you know, support the work of evangelism through Jews for Jesus, how would they do that? And we only have about a minute left.
They can go to our website, jewsforjesus.org, and they can donate directly on there. And they can also learn a lot more about Jews for Jesus. And if they want to, they can also email us and ask about opportunities to serve as volunteers behind the scenes on our evangelism outreaches. And we have a whole way of opportunities, a whole host of opportunities for people to serve and be
involved.
That's
great, Rich. Thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today and giving us some insight about these changing Jewish attitudes towards Jesus. I think it's really significant. I think it's one of the things that God is doing in the world today, restoring the Jewish people back to our land of Israel, but also starting to restore us back to a right understanding of the three-in-one God of Israel and the Messiah. So, Rich, thank you. And this is Rabbi Lauren. You've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and we invite you to join us again tomorrow at 3:30 on Faith Talk 1500.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.